Harrison Scott Key's new book, The World's Largest Man, starts out this way. They say that the South is full of storytellers, but I am unconvinced. It seems more accurate to say that it is full of people who are very, very tired. At least, this was my childhood experience in Mississippi, where there was very little to do but shoot things or get them pregnant. After a full day of killing and fornicating, it was only natural that everyone grew weary. The rest follows suit, a humorous memoir full of tales from Key's rural southern childhood. Recently, Harrison Scott Key, who is also the humor columnist for Oxford American Magazine, sat down with WABE's Kate Sweeney for an installment of Page Turners. He told her about the first book he ever read that made him realize that writing could be both smart and funny.
Now, you're not really a science fiction guy, but your book pick is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams.
Yeah, a lot of people read this book, that people that I know first read this book in high school, and I read this book in college, and I think I was a sophomore. I was about 19 or 20. I had read many, many, many books, you know, Calvin and Luther and Plato. I think at the time I was learning how to be a serious mind. And at the same time, I was always a cut up, you know, I was always trying to be funny, trying to make people laugh. So I was had these sort of like two paths. I was always, you know, auditioning for the Shakespeare comedy. And then I had this sort of serious intellectual side.
But there's clear kinship here between Martin Luther and improv comedy.
Yeah, those guys are hilarious. Calvin was so fun. His stand-up material is really gold.
What happens in this book? Like, if somebody were completely unfamiliar with it, how would you describe your elevator speech of the plot?
Well, it will sound ridiculous. There's a character, Arthur Dent. He's just this, like, you know, regular fuddy-duddy guy. Just like Bilbo or Frodo from, you know, The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings, just like doing his own thing. So many stories are about just some dude just sort of minding his own business who gets, you know, taken on an adventure, like Luke Skywalker, you know, sort of reluctant hero. He's just this guy minding his own business. And then one day he sort of gets swept up into this intergalactic journey. And if it's okay, I'd like to read some of it.
Yeah, that would be great.
And this is the prologue. Far out in the uncharted backwaters of the unfashionable end of the western spiral arm of the galaxy lies a small, unregarded yellow sun. Orbiting this at a distance of roughly 92 million miles is an utterly insignificant little blue-green planet whose ape-descended life forms are so amazingly primitive that they still think digital watches are a pretty neat idea. This planet has, or rather had, a problem. Which was this. Most of the people on it were unhappy for pretty much of the time. Many solutions were suggested for this problem, but most of these were largely concerned with the movements of small green pieces of paper, which is odd because on the whole it wasn't the small green pieces of paper that were unhappy. And so the problem remained. Lots of the people were mean, and most of them were miserable, even the ones with digital watches.
So when you first read that, what was your reaction?
When I read that, I mean, like, that I remember where I was. I was sitting out in front of this building. It was Friday and I was supposed to be going to class right after that. And I was hooked and I skipped class. I knew when I read that this is the kind of thing I should be doing. I should be writing something like this. Because in that little passage, so he's making fun of, you know, human civilization. He's making these really, you know, hilarious cultural references, like about digital watches. Of course, this was in, I think I read this in like 94 or 95. And digital watches were still, like, were pretty stupid by then. So he had this really funny line, and yet, like, a paragraph later, he's making a reference to evolution, and he's talking about space, and he's talking about money, and he's talking about evil. I mean, it was funny, and it was so weird. Like, there was a lightness to it, and that he was, like, he was making a joke every three or four paragraphs or every three or four lines. And something about that just stayed with me. I knew that that's what I wanted to be doing. I mean, that's really the challenge, right? Like, how do you write funny while writing about things that aren't silly?
Why is it a challenge to incorporate real ideas into humor?
I don't know. I mean, humor's such a weird thing anyway. I mean, you know, people think of, when they think of humor and they think of laughter, they just automatically think of silly things. They think of childish jokes. They think of potty humor. So I think there's just our culture has just a way of looking down on humor as being less than, as being something that's juvenile. And a lot of it is, absolutely. And
isn't there a sense, too, with comedic writing that works, that the writer is telling you the truth in a way that others will not?
Well, yeah, it definitely needs to be true. Ultimately, I think comedy is about admitting how terrible a person most of us are, or all of us really are. I remember when I was in graduate school, Seinfeld had just gone off the air. And I was trying to figure out, like, you know, how did they make us laugh so well and so much and so often? And so I studied the characters, and these were terrible people. I mean, look at somebody like George Costanza. He's a liar. He's a fake. He's a phony. And yet we laugh at him and we like him. You know, like, we probably wouldn't want to hang out with George Costanza in real life. But when you watch the show, like, you laugh at him and you feel for him and you want to see him do things. And I think at the end of the day, comedy is really about admitting how terrible all of us are. Tragedy is really about how good can we be? Somebody like Hamlet, a tragic character who's noble, who has so many fine qualities, who represents the best of humankind. And look what happens at the end of every tragedy. What happens? Everybody's dead. Clearly, we can't be great people. And so comedy sort of is like, well, if we can't be great, what can we be? We can be ourselves. And then when I read Adam's book, when I read the first few paragraphs, I saw this a way to bridge writing about ideas and things that mattered in the world while still being funny. Oh man, this was it. Like, I wanted to write a book that did that from the very first page.